Speak up.
You're listening to Speak Up on CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby. We're the campus and community radio station at Simon Fraser University, where we broadcast from unceded Coast Salish territories.
You're listening to CJSF 90.1 in Burnaby, British Columbia, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Coast Salish people.
Welcome back to Manukami, and I'm sad to say that this is our final episode of Manukami, or I guess this version of Manukami. We don't have any guests, it's just me, and I thought that we could take this opportunity to just sort of have a wrap-up, or I guess a culminating episode, making sense of the discussions that we carried on these past few weeks. Something that I noticed with my discussions that, I guess, at least for me, reflecting on what was going on in my head this past spring, I saw a clear through line in our discussions. I found a through line with our guest discussions and answers to the same central question. With Tegan, we had an unwavering support in arts collaboration by mentors in school. With Nung Benesi, we touched on holding truth and diverting life plans despite perceptions of academic progress. When talking with Kalia, we talked about working within her art practice studies to maintain connectivity while navigating colonial academia. The relationship between academia, academic institutions, and Indigenous people remain complex. Often we describe these as unprecedented times, and I can speak for myself when I say that it creates uncertainty, not knowing what to do with what we have right now or our future. I want to dive into each guest's wisdom that was shared these past couple of months, and I would like to thank Tegan, Nung Benesi, and Kalia for being a part of this project, sharing their writing, their words, and vulnerabilities with me. These were all people that I hold immense respect for already, and these discussions only amplified that for me. The reason I chose for the title of this show to be Manukami is rooted in these discussions. Not only is it my spirit name, but it is the heart of this show. It is an Eastern Ojibwe Odawa word, meaning be spring or be springtime, and when I envisioned the show, I pictured it as though we were all sort of emerging from the winter, emerging from the cold, the ruminating, and get to actually be able to talk about things with one another, especially topics that we feel as though aren't being touched on as much as they should. Like the bears coming out of hibernation, we are letting go of parts of the past that don't serve us and work with our community to start anew. I would like to thank CJSF for giving me a platform to do so. When we first spoke with Tegan and continued forward with our chats on Manukami, there was a heavy emphasis on community support and mentorship in regard to their writing projects in high school. Soon after our last discussion in the third episode I had Tegan on, I began to reflect on how I had forgotten how positive the reception of their work was from our school. And I guess it's not the best thing in the world to dissect yourself as much, but I think it's useful to explain. What stands out for me were times that aren't of adoration, but of speculation and confusion in school. twisted faces when I held my hand drum in school, or admin mistaking the smell of sage that we had burnt as marijuana. As adults or as peers, they approached... As adults or as peers, they approached difference with miscalculated speculation that resulted in alienation from time to time. And this still lives on. I think we've created a dynamic in which non-Indigenous people don't know aspects of our culture, while also not being able to comfortably ask. They don't know how to ask, so it becomes quiet, disjointed, and awkward. This is obviously a generalization, but one that carries a lot of lived experiences and truths, and I feel like it creates such a distance that doesn't allow any progress to come in. I get clouded by the bad, as any human would do, and I think both Tegan and I could confidently say that our experience in high school was complex, and I think it is safe to say that our unique position in the school's ecosystem had a part of it. We had multiple teachers who not only supported us academically and creatively, but also advocated for us outside and inside the classroom. And I don't want to make this a stewing sesh talking about how good we had it, but I want to highlight the complexity that comes from living as an Indigenous student in present day, especially when you bring mixed identity and urbanization into the mix. It's a whirlwind of conflicts between reality and inner truth. And I think what we can do to move forward is to maintain these chains of advocacy and mentorship within academic spaces. That's just one idea, but it can be a single seed that creates. That's just one idea, but it could be a single seed that creates something magical. For our first music break, we will have Mary Sue with Buried in Teeth. I mainly chose this song because I saw it pop up on my recommended a few days ago, and it took me back in time. When Tegan and I were in grade 11 and we were in a play in our drama production class back in the day, Buried in Teeth was one of our pre-show songs that we used to dance in the wings before a show at. I thought it'd be cute, and I'd love to talk about this artist as well after, so back later.
Thank you.
Buried in Teeth was written by Mary Sue, an American folk singer-songwriter with Polish and Hungarian descent on her father's side, and Spanish, Paiute, and indigenous Mexican heritage on her mother's side. Sue came out semi-recently in 2021, dropping the X out of her last name, Sue, that was originally given to her by her parents. She talked about it on Instagram, and I'll read the full caption. "Dear community, I want to speak again to the dropping of the X in my middle name, Sue, given to me by my parents. You probably have noticed I'm in the process of using a new spelling, Sue, for my name. I've come to learn over the years that the word Sioux is, first off, is a French colonizer's blanket term used to call a group of native tribes. It is also offensive and seen as a slur towards Lakota, Nakota, and Dakota people, a culture of people I am not descended from, and that I deeply respect. The word comes from the French derivation of Nadoesu, meaning roughly little snakes or snakes in the grass, which was a spiteful nickname given to them by the Ojibwe, their long-term foe. It was then abbreviated by fur traders as Sioux. To be honest, this has felt inappropriate and offensive to go by this name longer than I have publicly addressed. I have had some conversations with different native people, some of those lineages and others, who have made me feel certain in the decision, though I have been saddened to see the amount of spiritual bypassing when I asked thoughts from these platforms. I do not want to carry a name that embodies attempted cultural erasure and is an offensive term forced upon the original people by colonizers, and whose indigenous names reflect beautiful ideas of and of whose traditions I am not a part of. I am of a different indigenous lineage from now Mexico, but this doesn't matter considering these points. As an indigenous and mixed-race person, it is just as important not to bring continued harm or colonized terms upon the original stewards of Turtle Island. If even one native person felt offended or hurt by this name usage, I would need to consider a change. I stand for decolonizing work in these times, and thus I must do the work to decolonize my own name. Fascinating is my name my parents gave to me, without any idea the path I would walk, and that I must now speak to on a platform. The process of changing it on all streaming platforms is rather confusing to figure out, but I'm attempting it in the near future ASAP. I wish it wasn't so complicated of a process, but here is to moving forward." Anung Benesi, during his time here in Manukmi, he gave me insight into his world, where he finds peace and a place within the two worlds of creativity and academic practice. A central part of our discussion and the sound art collaboration that came from it was about Anung Benesi's decision to step away from his bachelor's in music degree to prioritize mental wellness and reevaluate why he makes art that he does as a percussionist. Similarly to Tegan, mentorship had occurred, but at a certain point, working within colonial systems can be challenging and mentally and spiritually exhausting. Stepping away allowed him to return home to his family and community and remember what it's like to be himself. I think we can all relate to this. Feeling like the broken mold trying to fit everything in so perfectly. And the obstruction of wellness within academic spaces, along with the obstruction of wellness working within this colonial system in general. The only way in which you improve in your artist practice in an academic sense is if you perfect the art of examining your flaws day in and day out. I feel similarly while studying history. Sitting in a room learning about the atrocities acted upon indigenous people throughout history and modern day reminded me of history class in high school, where I would disassociate while they would talk about residential schools because either they didn't know I was Native or didn't know I necessarily had connections to these horrific legacies through my grandmother and aunties. I think also it was how I personally didn't know the full scope of the situation I was dealing with and the fact that I had to learn it this way, in a classroom. I got that same feeling in history classes in the fall, and I still don't know how to handle it. I think this is another example of how non-natives don't know how to approach these issues the correct way, and it just results in these issues just collecting dust. I should not have learned what my family went through in a high school history class or a 200-level course, but that is the situation some of us find ourselves in. I think when I look back at those times, I feel a wave of optimism hearing about Anung's journey and where that has brought him now. We need to sometimes remember that the systems weren't built for us, regardless of what kind of mural is painted on it. When some of us are lucky to have a strong connection to community and land, there's nothing more special and sacred than that stepping back and reflecting. Thank you, Tunung, for reminding me. Our next song is Bloom's Day, as well as Dragonfly by Samantha Crane, and I'll be back with more.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. If you use social media, you've likely seen heated online arguments, outrageous posts, or conflicting news about climate change.
It's just very prevalent that people will share emotionally exciting information that they find that isn't truthful. And there are lots of bad actors out there who want to share bad information.
Jennifer McCarron of the Sierra Club says reading this can make people feel confusion or despair. So she leads a team of more than 1,300 volunteers who are fighting back, not by arguing with online trolls, but by uplifting truthful content. Each week, her team sends a few accurate social media posts to these volunteer climate truth tellers and asks them to flood the comments. The volunteers share why they care about the issue or how it affects their own community.
This may seem small, but it actually helps influence platform algorithms to boost the visibility on those posts and help ensure that good information gets seen by more people.
And it's an approach anyone can use.
Weighing in with positive, truthful interaction is important not only because of the social media algorithms, but because other people will see your comment. And then if they agree with you, but they don't feel like speaking up, they'll know that they're not alone too.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To learn more about climate change, visit climateconnections.org.
Looking for work that fits your schedule and can help make a difference in your community? Statistics Canada is hiring approximately 32,000 people across Canada for the 2026 census. Census jobs offer competitive pay, flexible hours, valuable experience, and the chance to help collect data that shape programs and services in your community. Apply today at census.gc.ca/jobs. A message from the Government of Canada.
Democracy Now!, hosted by award-winning independent journalist Amy Goodman. Tune in to your daily progressive news, aired Monday through Friday at 11 a.m. on CJSF.
Kalia, during our chat on Manukmi, reflected a system in limbo, where we see academic institutions attempting to enact positive change, and we, as the students, use what power we have to make our voices heard and honor our truths. We got talking about the semantics of reconciliation and how decolonization is not a metaphor, and how the use of such, as such, maintains settler innocence and obscures true meaning in action. This was mainly highlighted through our shared experience at the School for the Contemporary Arts at SFU. More specifically, her art practice as a dancer. Although this remains an ongoing process and issue, depending on how you look at it, Clea brought me back down to earth in our discussion. A gift that all my friends and I have managed to maintain in our ever-changing lives is our various art worlds that we live in. We have the key to a separate place where our truths run the show. How we respond to the world around us gives us a unique sense of agency, speaking our mind in our way to whoever catches on. That is how we find others in our world. And if we are to be so lucky, our world turns into the community that surrounds and supports us in whatever aspects that come. Getting to be a part of the process work for Kalia's piece, All My Relations, at the SCA Ascension Show back in 2025, opened a portal into Clea's world, and I was enamored by its complex display of stillness that I didn't see often. How breath is the main character of the movement, and how it almost feels as though the earth is moving her on its own. I also got a warm feeling inside how much it resembled my own world. Connecting our bodies and our minds is an essential and, dare I say, forgotten principle in the modern-day techno-dependent population. And with the rise of information fatigue and awareness of our ever-present collective screen addiction, I feel like this is something in a practice that needs to be honored, especially now, specifically now. At a time where it feels like our corporations and governments are treating us like the crying toddler at the restaurant, putting enough screens in front of our eyes for momentary bliss while ruining the planet behind our back, I know I may come off as corny And like I'm putting a pink band-aid on so many pressing issues when I say this, but art making of any kind is an amazing place to find that agency, a great seed to sprout. Not only does it give you an alternative and at times more productive way to respond to the world around us, but it takes back our lives. Especially with the rise of artificial intelligence and its infiltration into the art